Good morning. If you'll turn in your pew Bible to just a minute. 3:20 to 2 Kings 5:1-14, or if you're like me and using the big print in the red Bible, it's found on page 416. This is chapter 5. Naama, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now, Armenians, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naama's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naama went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, you know that I have sent to you my servant Naama, and that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life to this man who sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naama came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you will be clean." But Naama became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abarnon and Pharphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now if you'll turn in your hymnal to page, 762. Let us read responsively hymn 30. I will tell you that when I was reading this and trying to practice all the words today, I wondered what this psalm referred to, and it's a dedication to the house of the Lord. So let us read it. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and will not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol and restored me from life, from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Surely the Lord's anger is but for a moment. The Lord's favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have lost my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. It can be found on page 180, the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, and on page 233 in the large print Bible. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. It's found on page 66 of the New Testament in the Pew Bible. And if you're using the large print Bible, you'll find it on 86 in the New Testament. Hear these words. The context is right after our reading from last week, when Jesus reminds those would-be followers that his following is difficult. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborers deserve to be paid. Do not move around from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its street and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, my guess is it's pretty obvious that I always look forward to the Sundays when all three of our congregations can worship together, just like today. I have to admit that it's intimidating for me to preach when I know that there are three other clergy persons here, including me, Pastor Pelaki, Pastor Emmanuel, and Deacon Daniel Claywitter. Not to mention the several lay preachers here, including Atonio Tolutau, who had just tried out his preaching chops, but also Melba Taylor and Mark Doctor and Bill Mitchell, who I believe is out tending to the grill right now. But it struck me this week as I was thinking about this sermon that these other preachers might agree with me in this observation. It seems that often the lectionary scripture lessons draw us into one of two approaches. We either speak about God's grace and individual salvation. What can I do to accept God's offer of eternal life? Or we speak about God's grace and the work of the church. What can our faith community do to make disciples and spread the good news of Jesus Christ? It often seems like we are drawn in one or the other of these two directions. Well, in contrast to that dichotomy, today's lessons seem to address three different messages from God. As is often the case, our psalm reading, Psalm 30, that we were led through, includes a message of individual salvation, how we might approach God in times of difficulty, but also in times of healing. There's also a message in the epistle that Daniel read about how you fit into your faith community as Paul addressed the people of the Galatian churches. And finally, there is a third message that addresses how God wants our three combined congregations to move out into the world in that gospel story from Luke. Now, in both the epistle lesson to the Galatians and in Luke's gospel story of sending out the 35 pairs of missionaries, there is a common theme of reaping and sowing and harvesting. I want you to take a look at the image on the bulletin cover. Jesus walking through a field of wheat with a small sickle, ready for the harvest of eternal life. Well, I want you to think very specifically about your own personal experience as a member of your faith community, whether that be the Ghana Wesley Fellowship, the Tonga Fellowship, or Burns Church. Think about the nitty-gritty relationships that you have with other members of your congregation. Listen once again to Paul's words and see if there is a message here that speaks directly to you. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will be a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. I believe that this passage would be a great discussion at your next Bible study class. And frankly, I am drawn in fear and fascination to that one specific sentence. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. Let me also call your attention to God's message from Luke's Gospel. This passage is perhaps the very essence of what Jesus is calling us to do in our collective faith community. The story of Jesus sending out the 35 pairs of followers is the story of true missional church. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." To put it simply, church is mission, and mission is church. Jesus calls his followers to go out into the world to declare the kingdom of God and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to show people through your own testimony and actions the signs of God's kingdom, and then to return back home. Well, I believe that we in the church universal have made it way too complicated. Maybe we have lost sight of our foundational call to mission. We spend a lot of time worrying about how many people are members of our congregation, how much money these members ought to be giving, how we can best take care of our building, and who misplaced the tables and chairs. On a larger scale, we spend a lot of time worrying about who ought to be ordained into church leadership, about who ought to marry who, and about how we ought to handle the legal problem of the people who are here in this country illegally. Now, don't get me wrong. Each of these issues is critically important and needs to be addressed to ensure the health and vitality of our church. But wouldn't it make more sense to concentrate on this simple mission? To go out into the world to proclaim God's kingdom, to show through your actions the reality of God's love, and then to come home? When we do that, everything else will fall into place. As Jesus said in Luke 12:31, "Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well." Think about what happens when the Ghana Fellowship has a revival service and invites members of the community to experience the love of Jesus Christ. Think about what happens when the Tonga Fellowship Choir sings for other organizations and those listeners see and hear the love of God in that beautiful music that we just experienced. Think about what happens when Glenda Condon, Kevin Condon, and Charlie Morrell go into prisons and share the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ with those inmates. Think about what happens when Sandy Tinney and Ruby Freeman offer food and clothing to less fortunate members of our community at the Aurora Interchurch Task Force. Think about Kathy Moton and Deb Gunther and the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk. Think about Yvonne Separich and the United Methodist Women and Aurora Warms the Night. And the list goes on and on and on. But I believe in my heart that God has much more in mind for our arm of the body of Christ. I believe that God wants all three of our congregations to work together on this missional plan. I believe that Jesus is calling all of us together, the Tonga Fellowship, the Ghana Wesley United Methodist Fellowship, and Burns Memorial Church, together to go out into the world to declare the kingdom of God and share the good news of Jesus Christ, to show people through our own testimony and our own actions the signs of God's kingdom, and then to report back home. We need to do this missional work together, my sisters and brothers. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. My friends, it is surely time for us to sow God's love. When we work together for God's kingdom, we can look forward to God's harvest time when we will continue to reap eternal life. Let us work together for the good of all. Amen.